Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This episode of the Cult Popture Podcast was brought to you by our Patreon. If you want to tell us which films we should watch, get up to 2 extra exclusive podcasts a month, give us something to talk about in the post-credits scene at the end of each episode, or join us for our monthly Movie Club Zoom call where we discuss a film together, then please consider joining the cult and donating at www.patreon.com/cultpopture.
Hi, everybody. Hi, and welcome along to the Cult Popture Podcast. My name is AJ. Oh, yeah. Welcome to the fucking show.
Yeah, welcome to the Cult Popture Podcast.
Fuck. That was very aggressive, a little more aggressive than we usually are, and that is because I'm AJ and that's fucking Richard over there.
We're more aggressive than usual because you're AJ.
Yeah. And on the what we're doing on the show today is we are going to discuss what's the best F-bomb. Now, this requires a little clarification of what we mean and what we're doing.
Clarification.
So this episode will contain swearing. Warning. If that wasn't obvious already. And what I've done is that over all our various social medias, I've asked the question, what's the best F-bomb? And we've got some suggestions back. And I also wanted to clarify, so we're talking about the best F-bomb in any pop culture, whether that be a movie, a TV show, a video game, a book, or even in a few cases, a few suggestions, a song.
A podcast.
And a podcast, like this one.
Another warning that we should give up top, I've moved into a new podcasting room, and I may not have dampened the sound as well as I could have, so this might be a little bit echoey, but now that we've hung a lampshade on it, we can move forward, and I'll try again next week.
You sound all right to me.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I've hung up two blankets and I've created like a little corner of the room where the sound is slightly dampened.
Oh, that's probably enough.
Who fucking knows, man?
One of the reasons we wanted to do this episode, Richard, is I think there is...
Because we love to fuck.
There's something very special about an F-bomb. It's this weird cultural practice that is allowed for a single four-letter word to carry so much artistic power. And sometimes it gets overused and sometimes it should have been used. And I think especially, and this will probably come up a few times on this episode, myself coming from a religious background, I am no longer religious, but I used to be, there's just such a taboo and such a stigma attached to the word. And because of that, I don't think there's any word like it in terms of filmmaking that you can actually build something and do something with. Like, any word worse than fuck is almost... It's not as shocking.
Yeah, well, we'll cover that in 2 weeks on best cinematic cunts.
but I guess there is a weird power to it that can be utilized. It's such a diverse word, and so we want to explore
it. It's much diverse word in the English language.
Absolutely.
Like, and it so actually fucking is.
Yeah, it totally fucking is. I use it exactly the same way as you.
Absolutely.
And so we're going to explore how that's been used in various pieces of pop culture for effect, essentially. Yeah. So let's get to it. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through the suggestions. We're going to go through some... Maybe we can start with a... do you want to look up like a list of the best F-bombs and we'll get the like... the obligatory ones out of the way first.
Best fucks.
And what we're going to do is go through all the suggestions we've been given over on, it's on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, on Discord, where we get most of our action from. And also, I put a video up on my TikTok asking for people to suggest the best F-bomb. So we've got a couple of examples from there as well. So what we're going to do is I've got a small list of awards, and this isn't going to be like we go through them and then we go, all right, and who gets this award and who gets this award? It's more like as we go through them. You know what, Richard? Mm. We don't even have to agree. We don't even have to decide. I just thought it'd be a fun thing to be like, maybe this could be the best use, the best this kind of F-bomb, because we're not just doing F-bombs in PG-13 movies. There are plenty of great F-bombs in movies with that are full of fucks. So the awards that I've jotted down is best PG-13 fuck, so best instance where it's the only fuck in the thing, best comedic fuck, best dramatic fuck, best use of fuck in the literal sense, and best censored / unsaid / almost fuck. Nice. Does that sound good? Do you want to add anything to that list?
No, that's perfect.
Alrighty. Okay.
Best not swearing.
Best lack of fuck.
Yeah.
Like not even the implication of fuck.
Line that could be most improved by adding a fuck.
I've seen that Twitter trend.
I've pulled up a list of the best fucks. This is so the website I'm on, it's kind of just like it's a link to like videos, so one, and so I might have to watch them to find the fuck. But the one's called "I'm fucking my husband's best friend while he's in the office." Best dick ride.
I reckon that's best dramatic fuck.
Yeah. There's another website called pornhub.com.
This is not the first time one of us have been compelled to look up porn while podcasting.
What was the first time?
I remember
you were just going on about some shit and I got bored.
No, it was when it wasn't actually our podcast. It was on Rory Spence's Dog Hair Network podcast. And you did a report on pornography, and I googled the word porn on air on pod to see what would happen. I went to porn.com to see if porn.com is actually porn. And it was. So have you got an actual list there of like famous ones that we could go through?
Okay, so there's like a top 10 and
let's just
nine.
Go through that, just so we're not missing out on the obvious ones.
So we've got, although, wait, let me just have a look at what the higher ones in here are, because a lot of these ones are like, these wouldn't have come to mind. okay. This is flicks.com.au's 9 of the greatest F-bombs in cinema history by Liam McGeeran.
Hey, we know Liam. I think Liam listens. That's so funny. Hey, Liam. We're reading out your list.
So there's The Masters, Pig Fuck.
Yes. Which is, so this is from the film The Master. And I watched, this was one of the scenes I rewatched this afternoon to remind myself of. And early contender and probably winner for best use, the best dramatic fuck, I think. Do you want to paint the scene of what, in which context this fuck is used?
So it's essentially in The Master, Philip Seymour Hoffman is portraying an L. Ron Hubbard type, a cult leader, essentially. And there's a bit where Christopher Evan Welch, who has also passed away, sadly, sort of challenges all of his kind of stuff. And Philip Seymour Hoffman is normally in the film is very normally cool, calm and collected kind of thing. And his complaints very clearly get under his skin, and he starts like getting more and more tense and pig fuck. And that's like, yeah. And yeah, it's great.
I'm sorry you're unwilling to defend your beliefs in any kind of rational
way. If you already know the answers to your questions, then why ask pig fuck?
It's the culmination of,
Yeah, it's a culmination, and what I think is so great about it, and why I think it may be best dramatic fuck, is because it is a character reveal. It's a milestone in Philip Seymour Hoffman's journey as that character, where I don't know if it's the first time, but it's certainly a significant moment where you see a man Everything's unraveling, you know, where someone has challenged him to the point where his insecurities and his, like, he's breaking, his poker face is dropping, you know, and it reveals that he maybe even knows that his religion is also fake, you know, and as someone who's exited the great hall of religion in my life, it rings true, I think, because it's like, I remember having so many conversations as a teenager that were just me getting more emotional as I tried to, like, run circles around logical arguments. And so I think it's the culmination of that, which is why I think that's a great fuck. God, the Discord will not stop notifying me. How do I... I'm going to mute. I'm going to do something I've never done and mute my own Discord so that I can read the, the stuff without it being... without it interrupting me. All right. Unmute server. No, mute server for 1 hour. All right. Okay. What's next on Liam's list?
All right. Next on Liam's list, we've got every fuck in all of Joe Pesci's fucks in Goodfellas.
Okay. I don't remember any of them specifically, but I'm sure there are...
That's the thing. There's not one that, like, stands out.
Pesci-esque, yeah.
The Exorcist, The Devil's Fuck.
What is that one? Does it say?
Only a few years after MASH dropped the first big F-bomb, William Friedkin's Oscar-winning horror shocked audiences by having an 11-year-old say fuck, as well as cocksucker and the other C-word. Obviously, the projectile vomiting and demon possession proved pretty shocking as well, but that polymouth... Now. Goodness, Jesus had no place here.
Very fun.
You motherfucking worthless cocksucker.
Be silent.
Oh. Cool. All right. Anything else on this list?
All Is Lost, the Robert Redford film.
I haven't seen it.
So it's a film where he's like stranded on a boat in the middle of the ocean, and there's no dialogue in the film except for the word fuck.
Right. That's awesome. That's pretty good. I haven't seen it, but that's a pretty good use of the word fuck.
So they've got South Park, Uncle Fucker.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if it's particularly groundbreaking. Well, no, I guess it was groundbreaking, wasn't it? I think in the South Park movie, the best fuck, though, is probably when Cartman is yelling at Mr. Garris. I can't remember. I used to know that scene.
But there's also because the thing about Uncle Fucker is that it was originally going to be Motherfucker, but the song Shut Your Fucking Face, Motherfucker. And they were like, you can't say Motherfucker, that will land you an NC-17 rating. So they changed it to Uncle Fucker, which is okay.
And got more visceral. Yeah, it's funny that, isn't it? Like, I hear Motherfucker, I don't instantly think of what that literally means. Mm. Whereas I hear Uncle Fucker and I do.
Yeah, exactly.
You fucked your uncle yesterday. That's one of the lyrics.
Shut your fucking face, Uncle Fucker. You're the one that fucked your uncle, Uncle Fucker. You don't eat or sleep or mow the lawn, you just fuck your uncle all day long.
X-Men First Class, the cameo fuck.
Yes, okay, so this is probably an important one to talk about. A few people have suggested this as well. So paint the scene. What is this? What's the cameo?
So this is the montage of Magneto and Professor X, Professor Charles Xavier, recruiting people for their X-Men. They're gathering up the team they create in X-Men First Class, and there's a very quick scene of them coming to a bar where Hugh Jackman's Wolverine is there by himself, and they say, hey, we're putting together a team. He says, go fuck yourself, and that's it. And that's his entire cameo on the film.
Excuse me, I'm Eric Lentra.
Charles Xavier.
Go fuck yourself.
So Pilot/Luke in our Discord, he mentioned this, and he said it's such a good F-bomb because it seems like he's living in his own story, which is separate to the PG-13 world of the rest of the film. And I agree, and I think what's very clever about Wolverine's F-bomb in that movie is that it's the movie breaking and it's the movie dropping its pretense and being cooler than it's allowed to actually be. Well, not cooler, but like dirtier than it's allowed to actually be, to emphasize the power of a character who's not even really in the movie. That is, Wolverine. So yeah, I would agree. I think that's a great use of an F-bomb. Maybe best PG-13? Maybe best PG-13 fuck.
The fact that it's like, yeah,
It breaks the reality of the film with it, and it stands out, and yeah.
That's nice. Also Screen Crusher's number one best F-bombs in PG-13 movies.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we're blowing our F and wad by reading these, but there's other ones here that I know will come up.
So should we jump to reading the suggestions then?
Go for it.
Alrighty. Well, let's go to the Discord first then. And there were some repeats here because I didn't I didn't correlate these like a frickin' frick. All right. Dimitri in our Discord says, quotes the first episode of Breaking Bad with "fuck you, Bogdan, and your eyebrows."
Come on, man.
Fuck you, Bogdan.
What?
I said fuck you and your eyebrows. Wipe down this.
Which is an interesting breed of the TV show, the prestige TV drama F-bomb, which is the, like, they allow themselves to do two or three a season, and the Breaking Bad pilot, I think, has all of season one's quota in it, including "fuck you, Bogdan."
Yeah, well, that's the thing, because the pilot for Breaking Bad is like a literal pilot in the sense of they made this not knowing who they were making it for, and then when they went on AMC, that's when that rule was imposed, because they probably assumed they were making this for HBO, because it's also longer, it's got some boobies in it, which we don't really see throughout the rest of the show.
That's true.
But yeah, like there's a line where Gomi and Hank are talking, he's like, "Sage, where do you work, the fucking pottery barn?" And it's like,
that you wouldn't use that as your
yeah.
you get one F-bomb a season and you use it on like a throwaway line like that. Vincent says 500 Days of Summer when Tom is being questioned about his new romantic card, which is, so in the film Tom and Summer have just broken up, and Tom's boss, played by
Phil Coulson,
what's his real name? Clark Gregg. He's reading out a new card that Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character Tom has just given him, and it's
okay. Here's something that you wrote last week. Roses are red, violets are blue. Fuck you, whore.
Which is pretty funny. Vincent says that it's the best reading of a greeting card in movie history, which is, I'm sure, a lot of other examples are vying for that title. And he says that Clark Gregg's performance makes the scene. In Half Baked, according to Mike Noyes from Oakland, he says, best way to quit a job.
fuck you, you're cool, and fuck you, I'm out.
I love that. That's such a good scene.
Yeah. I have been playing these as we've been saying them, or some of them anyway. I probably won't play all of them, but okay. I'll be including sound bites. Batter Dog in our Discord says that Eric Idle's timing in The French Waiter is exquisite, which is a Monty Python sketch.
The world is a beautiful place. You must go into it and love everyone. Try to make everyone happy and bring peace and contentment everywhere you go. And so I became a waiter. Well, it's not much of a philosophy, I know. But well, fuck you. I can live my own life in my own way if I want to. Fuck off. Don't come following me.
And over also on the Discord, Dan from Hawaii says the one we've all been probably thinking about, the one we've all been waiting for, and maybe the winner of best use of F-bomb in a PG-13 film just for its notoriety is Go Fuck Yourself, San Diego from Anchorman.
Channel 4 News team, I'm Veronica Corningstone.
And I'm Ron Burgundy. Go fuck yourself, San Diego.
Ah! Dan says, I believe this should win because the F-bomb itself is also shocking within the context of the setting, as it comes from a news anchor during a broadcast. Live on air bombs like that are career-ending things, and it escalates the comedy of Anchorman to another level at just the right moment. That's a great point.
Mm.
Yeah, it's a meta-textual PG-13 F-bomb,
yeah.
Which they're usually just used to be like, we were allowed one. We can do
it. Put it here.
A real bad example of a PG-13 F-bomb, I think, is in Yes Man, which is when Jim Carrey's character, after saying yes to a bunch of stuff that's landed him stranded in the middle of nowhere, is like walking to a gas station to get some petrol, and as he walks past, he's like bickering to himself, and as he walks right past the camera, and he's like,
how about letting him burn out your phone battery so you can't call AAA when you run out of gas? You know what? That sounds like a fucking great idea!
And it's so like, you didn't need to put that in the movie. It doesn't add anything, and it's nowhere near as good as another Jim Carrey F-bomb we'll talk about shortly. But yeah, what do you think of Dan's reasoning for Go Fuck Yourself, San Diego?
Yeah, I think that's good, and it also leads to my favorite part of Anchorman when Chris Parnell's character is like, you're my hero, Ron Burgundy. You might say the poop, tugging poop out of your mouth.
Mike is also put, the first time we're going to be reading a very similar comment across all these different platforms, as Samuel Jackson has made a career out of saying fuck, and this movie exists so that he could say this line. People saw this movie because of the one line.
I've had it with these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane. Everybody strap in. About to open some fucking window.
It's Sam Jackson. He'll probably be the thumbnail for this episode. You know, like I feel like that's his brand.
Sam Jackson and a little battle angel.
Is that what you want the thumbnail to be?
Do you remember the one in a little battle angel?
Yeah. What is it? It's like
fuck your mercy.
It's like fuck your mercy.
Fuck your mercy, yeah.
Because I remember after it, you being like, might be one of the best PG-13 F-bombs of all time.
Did I?
Yeah.
It's the nicest thing I've ever said about that movie.
That's a great movie.
It was not a great movie. It was an adequate movie.
It was a fantastic movie. And look, wasn't a great movie. It was a fantastic movie.
The Almighty Watcher also suggests the line from the movie, have you seen Wanted?
Years ago.
The movie that felt like it was going to be bigger than it ever was, and just everyone forgot about it.
With James McAvoy.
Yeah. Spoilers for the ending, Morgan Freeman's the bad guy, and I remember vividly Morgan Freeman saying the line,
shoot this motherfucker!
As convincing everyone to be on his side. Right. And I remember it was the first time I'd heard Morgan Freeman say fuck.
Morgan fucking Freeman, that's what they call it.
Morgan maybe not
fuck man. No
just
country
every
for, no country for fuck men.
no country for fucked men. Crazy Stupid Love has a good one when Gosling takes off his shirt and Emma Stone says,
fuck! Seriously? It's like you're photoshopped.
Which is similar to, I think, the Wolverine thing where it's like, it's making a point out. It's impressing upon you how important this all is, I guess.
Right.
I'm going to race through. Okay, so here we go. Almighty Watcher also quotes, he says, he's talking about Go Fuck Yourself, San Diego from Anchorman, and he says, I prefer Back to You Fuckers from Bruce Almighty for my anchor-related fucks, which is great, which is in
Bruce Almighty.
Bruce Almighty, it's when he's like been given a story to report on set, and while he's on set discovers that he's missed out on the anchor job, which went to Evan Baxter, star of Evan Almighty. And he says,
I'm Bruce Nolan for Eyewitness News. Back to you, fuckers.
Which is a much better Jim Carrey F-bomb. I'm paying off my setups here.
Love it. Thank you.
Okay, so Craig from West Auckland in our Discord, he wanted to bring up Eyes Wide Shut, which is also something that Rowan Strang...
Eyes Wide Fuck.
Rowan Strang, also, who's part of our Cold Popture family and probably could have been on the episode if we'd planned this a little further in advance. On Facebook, Rowan wanted to give a shout out to Eyes Wide Shut. He says, Eyes Wide Shut, no spoilers. If you haven't watched it for before you record. Kubrick's best film, and no discussion of the F word in movies would be complete without covering this particular use in this film. Richard, I watched Eyes Wide Shut last night for the first time.
You didn't.
I'm actually such a mad lad. I watched a movie. It was kind of mad that I watched it at like 1 a.m.
And that is actually also like very out of character for you.
Yeah, exactly. And I also watched it purely to understand what was so good about the fuck.
Yeah.
And it might be the best use of fuck in the literal sense, I think, is maybe this film. So if you haven't seen...
I could tell
seen...
that's why you added the that as a category. Because I can't think of a single other instance of it that would be in the running.
It's more that a literal use of the word fuck is like rated higher. Like in PG-13 movies, I don't think you're allowed to use it in the literal sense.
Yeah, you can't.
Yeah. So if you haven't seen spoilers for Eyes Wide Shut, but at the same time, I don't think knowing this will necessarily ruin what is a pretty tripped out experience in plenty of ways, which is, it's essentially a movie about Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise are
playing themselves.
And towards the start of the movie, Nicole Kidman tells Tom Cruise that a year ago, she nearly left him for another guy. And then Tom Cruise goes out and spends the next 2 days trying to cheat on his wife. That's the movie. That's the plot of the movie. That's the plot of the movie. And he gets, you know, goes down some interesting rabbit holes, which I shan't spoil. Though if you've ever heard Eyes Wide Shut used as an adjective, that maybe gives a clue as to the kind of things he uncovers. But it ends with him coming clean to her and telling her everything, and they're going Christmas shopping, and they're sort of mending their relationship, and it ends with Nicole Kidman saying,
"There is something very important that we need to do as soon as possible."
"What's that?"
"Fuck."
And it ends right there, and it's very creepy. It's very erotic and very creepy at the same time.
It's like Margaret Qualley in Death Note.
A universal analogy there. Craig also suggests Argo Fuck Yourself from Argo.
Do you hate that, don't you?
I don't hate it. I just think it's not. I just don't like the movie. Jensen suggested a lot of he'd said RuPaul has a lot of iconic F-bombs, like RuPaul's Drag Race, which I didn't know. And he shared a gif of I think it's RuPaul in drag saying "don't fuck it up." I'm very RuPaul illiterate. It's becoming a pretty significant pop cultural blind spot for me. Well, I never thought it would, but there you go. Brent also suggests "Knock Knock, Go Fuck Yourself" from Catch Me If You Can, which is good.
"Knock Knock, who's there? Go fuck yourselves."
And that's similar to Morgan Freeman. It's the rare Tom Hanks F-bomb.
Yeah. "We're not aiming for the fucking truck." It's Tim Allen.
Oh my god. DJP Janky from our Discord suggests, maybe unconventional, but my favorite F-bomb is Aubrey Plaza and Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, which we can put in our category for best censored, unsaid, or almost fuck. Do you know the line?
She just swears a bunch in that scene. And it censors her mouth, and he goes, "How are you doing that?"
"So, what can I get you?
Is there anywhere you don't work?"
"They're called jobs. Something a ball like you wouldn't know anything about. And by the way, I can't believe you asked Ramona out after I specifically told you not to do that."
"How are you doing that with your mouth?"
"Never mind how I'm doing it."
Yeah, I'm sure you can play the audio here. Another one that I would like to put forward for the best almost fuck, one that I love, is in Arrested Development. When you see it's like split up. And yeah, so you see him go like "King's $2,000 suit," and then later on you see him like say, "Oh yeah, the guy in the fuck."
What about "Mom's fucking cottage" from the
Mom's fucking cottage, the
three good jokes from Arrested Development?
It's like a top five all time Arrested Development joke, and it's in season five. And it's like that episode in season five has two really good jokes, and the rest of the season has none.
Okay, here's one I want to talk about. A few people have suggested this across the different platforms. Is the fucking car scene from Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Mm.
Brent suggested it. Luke/Terrence says that's a fantastic one. I think a few people on TikTok, including our friend Centero, our YouTube buddy Centero, suggested Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
How may I help you?
You can start by wiping that fucking dumbass smile off your rosy fucking cheeks. Then you can give me a fucking automobile. A fucking Datsun, a fucking Toyota, a fucking Mustang, a fucking Buick. 4 fucking wheels and a seat.
I really don't care for the way you're speaking to me.
And I really don't care for the way your company left me in the middle of fucking nowhere with fucking keys to a fucking car that isn't fucking there. And I really didn't care to fucking walk down a fucking highway and across a fucking runway to get back here to have you smile at my fucking face. I want a fucking car right fucking now.
May I see your rental agreement?
I threw it away.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy, what?
You're fucked.
Do you know what? I disagree. I think it's a terrible use of the F word.
It's a very, I don't necessarily want to say Gen X, but like
it's a very older Gen X.
It's older millennial. It's a very Gen X thing.
These are the only times in the movie that the F word is uttered, and it's not that funny. It's not that impactful.
It's Steve Martin funny.
It's Steve Martin funny, and it's just it's like. I don't understand why, like, apparently this scene as well was, like, insisted upon by...
Yeah, it was like, you'll get an R rating, and he's like, I don't care, like, we need to... This is my artistic vision.
I just think that's a...
John Hughes was like, this is my 18-hour Barbie podcast.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. All right, well, let's hop over to my TikTok, Richard, just so I can close this tab on my computer. Sylvia Wilson, who's actually sponsored a couple of episodes a few weeks back with her company, which they're not sponsoring this episode, so I don't know if I should say it or not. she suggested that her favorite F-bomb is from Hamilton.
Southern motherfucking Democratic Republicans.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. There's a few good ones yeah. in Hamilton.
There's three in Hamilton. Like a couple are censored anyway, but when they put it onto Disney Plus, I think Southern Motherfucking Democratic Republicans is like bleeped, and then one's like record scratched or something, and then they preserved one, like Disney let them keep one, and it's in the part that's not on the soundtrack, because there's a part in the actual show that isn't on the soundtrack, because it's like they used to do that back in the day, and Lin-Manuel Miranda decided to keep it. So it is spoilers for Hamilton when his son dies.
Right. Alrighty. And Bumlet 5 on TikTok suggests season 1 episode 4 of The Wire. Are you familiar with this scene from The Wire? Every word in the scene is fuck, and it's two of the detective characters sort of investigating a crime scene, and they're going like fuck, fuck, and they'll find a clue and be like motherfucker, and they'll see something else and go fucking A. And I think One of the reasons why this is so good is that it's in a show which is usually not very fanciful or stylistic. They don't do things like that in The Wire. It's usually fly on the wall.
They don't have a musical episode.
Yeah, yeah. That's so good. That's such a great way to put it. And so it sticks out as being kind of, it's like a concept. They're doing a concept.
Yeah, it's a concept episode, yeah. Yeah. Like, you'd see this kind of thing in Scrubs.
Yeah, yeah. User series of numbers on TikTok says, when Ralphie says fudge in A Christmas Story, not the best, but definitely one for the list, which is very cute. I presume, I haven't seen A Christmas Story in a couple of years, but I presume that's a censored or unsaid or almost fuck. And Roberto Torres, I think, has the winner personally for best uncensored or almost fuck. Unsaid fuck. I'm all over the place. And it might also be a subcategory for best Samuel Jackson F-bomb, which is in Avengers Infinity War, which I'll play the clip now.
Oh no. Well,
If you haven't seen Avengers Infinity War, it's as he's being snapped out of existence. He says, what is it?
It's the post-credit scene.
Oh, it's the post-credit scene. And he said, does he say mother? Does he get mother? Yeah. And Roberto says, he doesn't even get to drop it completely. We only hear mother, but it's still so powerful because we all know who he is. It's like that F-bomb is a reference to every other one of Samuel Jackson's, every other role Samuel Jackson has played over the years in all of his movies. It's like the movie is playing an inside joke with all of the audience and the actor at the same time, because in the scene he is not Fury but Samuel Jackson, so he's not Nick Fury for half a second, which I can understand being like, why does this have a place in the Avengers? But at the same time, there is something funny about seeing Samuel Jackson realize his character's being killed off. It's almost, you can almost interpret it that way, as it's him talking to Disney or the producers being like, I'm Nick Fury, you can't kill me off, what are you doing? No. So what do you think?
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say about that.
Hey, Jenny Slater says, it wasn't said aloud, but I always love the girl with the dragon tattoo, the scene where she's wearing a shirt that says fuck. Someone just said, please say the word best and beast, because they like my accent. And
best, beast.
Someone, Lady Veronica says, you're so funny, I'm going to look for your podcast. Well, Lady Veronica just gave
you don't
a
need
out.
To read these comments, Aja.
All right, here's one I think you're probably going to want to talk about, Richard. Duncan Brown says, every season of BoJack Horseman has one use of the word fuck, typically used to symbolize someone cutting ties with BoJack for his toxicity. Did you want
BoJack would be my pick for best fucks. Specifically probably season 2 and season 4 are my favorites. But yeah, like I said, that it's this is a show that, because it's like an adult animation, you don't realize you haven't heard the F word until you hear it for the first time at the end of season 1. And it's a character not only saying like, get out of my life, but it's also not allowing BoJack to, my name is Earl, him, and make up for a past mistake. And he says, no,
that's
fuck
in season
you.
1 I
yeah.
think
yeah that's yeah, season yeah. 1 yeah that's what I'm saying. That he's like, not until that scene when he says, now get the fuck out of my house, delivered by the inimitable Stanley Tucci, you realize, like, is that the first time they've sworn in this show?
And you abandoned me, and I will never forgive you for that. Now get the fuck out of my house.
And then in season 2 it happens again. It's a character saying, if you ever come back, I'll fucking kill you.
And if you ever try to contact me or my family again, I will fucking kill you.
And then season 3's is like a lot. And so it's interesting because it's like, you know, these two things of like, which character is going to tell BoJack to get the fuck out of his life kind of thing. And this one. And then in season 3, it's like, fuck, man. Like, it's delivered like that.
Right.
Fuck, man. What else is there to say?
And it's like, damn, it's so different. And then season 4 is so interesting. I won't do the other two, but season 4 is so interesting because instead of being in the second or third to last episode, which it is in the other ones, in season 4, it's him, like, he loads the Chekhov's fuck gun in, like, episode 4 and says, I'm going to say fuck you to this person.
I'm going to squeeze your hand and get real close and say, fuck you, mom.
What?
And then at the end of the season, in the place where the fuck would normally be, he's given the opportunity to say it, and he doesn't. And it's nice. It's such a great, like, taking 3 seasons to set up your expectations. So you do still get the fuck when he says it in episode 4 when he says, I'm going to say fuck you. But then when he actually gets the opportunity, you're like, sure, they're going to do 2 this season. He doesn't go through with it, and it's great because it's not only, and that's like, you know, the best lack of a fuck is in the end of season 4, because it's
maybe that's it as well. Yeah,
yeah, because you're told there's going to be one, and but instead we get this nice character development.
Nice. Another username, which is just a bunch of numbers, says, probably the most prolific fuck meme is when Angela scares Dwight in The Office. Have you seen that meme?
Maybe, I don't know.
It's like Dwight looking at something, smiling, and then he looks beside him, and there's someone who I presume is named Angela there, and he goes, fuck.
Fuck?
I assume it's bleeped in the TV show.
Angela scares Dwight.
Ryan Cooper also suggests John C. Reilly and Kong Skull Island when he's talking about the giant ants. So perfectly unexpected and apparently ad-libbed too. It would have to be ad-libbed because that's like such a strange use of the, you know, your one F-bomb, which I'll play that for everyone now.
Ants. Big ones. There's one. Sounds like a bird, but it's a fucking ant.
Oh, sorry, I wasn't listening. The one in the office is pretty funny.
Okay, good.
It is bleeped.
Universal donor.
But yeah, this Kong Skull Island one.
Yeah.
That's an interesting one because it's like, it feels ad-libbed almost.
It is ad-libbed. You weren't listening. Okay. All
right. What did you say about it?
It's just that it's like, it would have to be ad-libbed because why would you put your fuck there in your PG-13 movie?
You know? Yeah. Yeah, it feels very much like he said it by accident. They were like, nah, that was actually just a really good take. And then, like, there was none in the script. And they're like, well, we're allowed one, so we'll just leave it.
Yeah, yeah. Fields of Heather says, anytime Taylor Swift has said fuck, there's just something about it. And I said, that's very interesting. Can you tell me which songs? And Heather specifically pointed out Mad Woman and Betty.
Does she smile or does she mouth fuck you forever? You would tell me to go fuck myself.
So I listened to both of them. And it is, I don't think I'd heard Taylor Swift say the F word before, and it was, yeah, she says it like that. and I thought it was pretty interesting, and it sent me down a rabbit hole of F bombs in songs, and because which aren't always going to be significant, because I think out of all mediums, songs is maybe the place you often would notice it least.
Yeah, it's maybe. Actually the most egregious F-bomb I can think of in a song is, remember Timbaland's, he did Shock Value and Shock Value 2, and we're still waiting for Shock Value 3.
When will it come out?
Yeah, so it was Timbaland, like, that's what the apologizes from with One Republic.
Right.
And he did all these songs and collaborated with different artists, and he did one with, like, The Hives, did one with Jet, but he did one with Fall Out Boy. I think it's called One and Only, and the chorus is Fall Out Boy, and it goes, rock, that's not how life, your fucking face. And it's like, it's so weird hearing Patrick Stump swear. And it's like, it just felt like too edgy. It's such a weird song. And I never really got into it because the F-bomb just rubbed me so the wrong way. Mm.
I totally get that.
I haven't listened to that song in like a decade.
If we're speaking about music as well, and this is significant for me because I don't know if this is canon on the podcast. People roast me for it in the Discord. I don't know much about music, and I don't listen to music. I'll be honest, Richard, when you mentioned Shock Value, I'd never heard of that. And I had to play along like I knew exactly what you were talking about.
You did an excellent job.
Thank you. But my one band that I've talked about a few times on this podcast that I really like is a band called Me Without You. And they have approximately one official F-bomb. They in some of their live shows, they'll replace like mess with me with fuck with me. But they have one, you know, studio recorded F-bomb in one of their songs. And it's really interesting. And I always thought it enhanced the song in such a cool way, which is it's in the final song of their fifth album, which is called Pale Horses. And the main, and for context, this is a quasi-Christian, very religious, or no, not very spiritual band. And they when I was a Christian, I would always grapple with how Christian they were. And now that I'm not a Christian, I'm like, man, I hope those guys aren't Christian in real life. And the lead singer sings this one line in the song Rainbow Signs where he says, threw a mute curse to the Boise sky for my fucked up Napoleon of St. Helena hairline. And if you look up St. Helena, Napoleon of St. Helena, he's got a very similar hairline to the lead singer of Me Without You. And what's so cool about it is, first of all, you don't really hear the F in fucked. And so when it came out, everyone was like, Aaron Weiss saying fucked up in this song? What is going on? Like, he comes off as such like a wise and, you know, very, very monk-like person, you know, persona and all of his interviews and stuff. So it's very strange to hear. And I once read a article written about that F-bomb because it was saying it's so intentional, because earlier in the album, there's a line where he sings on a different song, he sings the line, "To heck with all the drugs my parents did." And so they're saying it's like he's saying something or other about like how we treat swearing, where like he like really hits the word heck earlier in the album, but then when he says the worst word, it's understated and you won't hear it if you're not looking out for it. So that's one of my favorite F-bombs. And another one of my favorite F-bombs, Richard, is from a movie called Begin Again. Which I want to talk about as well, because I think there are multiple F-bombs in there, so I don't think it's like the one F-bomb in the whole movie, but it's at the end of a song that's otherwise very sort of jovial and floaty, and it's Keira Knightley singing to Adam Levine, who she's recently broken up with, saying like, oh, you know, we had...
She's leaving him an answer machine message.
She's leaving him an answer phone message, and most of the song is like... It's called Loved You Like a Fool, and most of it is very like sort of funny, hilarious performance from James Corden in the background playing kazoo, ruining the film. I hate that one of my favorite movies has James Corden in it. It eats me up inside. And then she sings,
and you have broken every single fucking rule, and I have loved you like a fool.
And it hits very hard, and so I really like that one. Are there any specific ones you want to mention that haven't been suggested by anyone?
I don't know if this is the place to talk about it, but I've like at least
this porn.
like at least once a week, I think about the time you and I watched Begin Again together.
Yeah.
And how. I so missed the point of the ending.
Maybe this isn't... I want people to watch this movie, so maybe don't talk about the ending. This is not for the F-bomb episode. This is a conversation
What I'll say is that, like, there's a bit in the film where, you know, a character revelation is told through a glance. And you said to me, like, oh, I love that reaction, because that just tells you everything you need to know. And I had it completely wrong. And I was... Yeah. Anyway, hit us up on the Discord if you've seen Begin Again and want to hear the full story. Or suggest it for one of our Patreon podcasts, and then we can tell the full story. And
I would love to do Begin Again for Patreon.
Another good one is in The Ringer, when he says, when the fuck did we get ice cream?
You stopped off for ice cream. When the fuck did we get ice cream?
And you can see Johnny Knoxville, break character, laughing at it.
That's a movie that I bet the producers of are hoping stays buried in the mid-2000s, huh?
Yeah. I do. Another one, and like we didn't really talk about it, but like we've got best PG-13 F-bomb, but what about best PG F-bomb?
Do they exist?
Yes. Wow. There's Nice Fucking Model from Beetlejuice.
Nice fucking model!
Yeah. Someone did suggest that, yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Beetlejuice, though, so I didn't quite understand what was so important about the context of it.
It's just funny that he swears and then he grabs his crotch and goes, huh?
Sam Stanley on Facebook suggested a bunch of them. He also, what's really interesting, he pointed out the F-bombs in SNL, which end careers because people say them by accident. Slide. Yeah, Jenny Slate.
Well, it didn't end her career, ended her run on SNL.
Yeah, sorry, yeah.
Samuel L. Jackson, no one's heard of him anymore after he swore. And Keenan was like, now careful, Sam, that costs us money.
Oh, that's funny. Scott Curry also suggests the wire scene.
One more SNL fun fuck story, I believe.
Yeah.
Also, there's one recent ones, Sam Rockwell said... like to let it slip out, and then is like, oh. And then Kristen Stewart said in her monologue as well that she's so fucking excited to be hosting it. But apparently after 9/11, the first show after 9/11, they were going to Lorne Michaels was going to like said, like, let's swear in the opening. It was Reese Witherspoon, I think, was hosting. And they had it, they were going to have her just come out and be like, fuck, you know? And like Lorne Michaels was going to pay the fine for it out of his own pocket. They had it all planned, but then they ended up instead doing something different, which was getting one of the most beloved people in the country, Rudy Giuliani, to come on the show. And the monologue finishes with Lorne Michaels saying to him, can we still be funny? And Rudy Giuliani says, why start now? And that was their big 9/11, post-9/11 joke to break the ice.
Thank you, Rudy Giuliani. Sam Stanley also suggests Paul Dano's character in Little Miss Sunshine. Spoilers for Little Miss Sunshine. It is him breaking his vow of silence after finding out he's colorblind and can't join the Air Force. Very powerful. Maybe best use of dramatic, you know?
Mm.
Maybe. And Be Cool. Have you seen Be Cool? Same director as Big Trouble. A lot of the same cast as well.
That's why I refuse to watch it.
There's a line where John Travolta's Chili Palmer says,
"Do you know that unless you're willing to use the R rating, you can only say the F word once?"
You kidding me?
No. You know what I say? Fuck that. I'm done.
I think that's a cool idea for one, but I think it's stupid. Like I would have. Like, it feels like they're loading it too much. Like, if I was writing that scene, I'd probably been like, are you fucking serious? Like, put it there rather than, like, having it before the punchline of the scene. Because it's like, yeah, you're loading it up and be like, oh, he's going to say it right now kind of thing. But if you just use it before that, that's fine. Another one that's good in Dodgeball, right at the end, I think it's during the credits, when... I love this movie. What's Ben Stiller's character's name?
I don't know. I've seen Dodgeball like once.
White Goldman, I think, is he's now overweight, having lost the game due to a tie-breaking vote made by Chuck Norris, playing himself. And it's the last line of the film when he does like his little dance, like in his fat suit, and he's just like,
fucking Chuck Norris.
Ben Close actually on Facebook suggested what I think is maybe my favorite use of the comedic F-bomb, which is in Chef, when he's telling off the food critic, John Favreau.
<It's> fucking molten!
He's telling off the food critic who said that his chocolate lava cake was undercooked, and that's how you make a chocolate lava cake. And he's like, it's not. Yeah, and he explains how to do it and says it was fucking molten.
Chocolate lava cake is not just undercooked chocolate cake. That's not what makes the center molten. You take a frozen cylinder of ganache and you set it in the ramekin so that as the outside cooks fully, the inside becomes molten.
Okay.
It's fucking molten, see? It's fucking molten, you asshole.
I think that's such a cathartic line. And I think it's my favorite use of comedic because it's like, it's a case where it doesn't matter what he's saying, but it gives a voice to everyone who's ever been criticized for something from someone who doesn't understand what they're talking about. Like, I relate to that so much. It's like, so like, because when you get criticized for something, the more angry you get, the more like they have won, and it's such a hopeless feeling. And so to watch someone be like, it's fucking molten, it's so cathartic in that way. He also suggests Spider-Man Homecoming, the end of that maybe being the MCU's second censored, unsaid, or almost fuck.
Yeah, what's the first one, the MCU?
The Samuel Jackson one.
Yes. Well, that's Homecoming's before Infinity War.
Oh, there's two. There you go. Second one we mentioned on this episode.
What the fuck?
In Forrest Gump. The war in Viet fucking Nam.
So good.
War in Viet fucking Nam.
That is Sacha Baron Cohen's character from Chicago 7. Abby Hoffman.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's awesome. Rowan also suggested on Facebook, from The World's End, a man of your legendary prowess drinking fucking rain.
That's a good one, yeah.
Nick Frost wants to drink water instead of beer.
A man of your legendary prowess drinking
fucking rain.
Over on the Instagram, Indie Rock Bottom suggested Ocean's 12. Did you know you can only say fuck once in a PG-13 movie?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Lex Honey says fave F-bomb is the very, very beginning of Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist when Michael Cera is on the phone with his ex leaving a voicemail and it cuts out and he simply whispers fuck, which I could totally see that. I can't remember the scene, but I can totally see someone's favorite F-bomb being delivered by someone like Michael Cera. Our friend Audrey Porn suggested Drew Barrymore and Donnie Darko. I don't remember Drew Barrymore's specific instance of saying the F word.
I remember in Donnie Darko, the sucker fuck scene.
Which is what our friend Uther Dean on Twitter also suggested is, oh, please tell me, Elizabeth, how exactly does one suck a fuck?
You can go suck a fuck.
Oh, please tell me, Elizabeth, how exactly does one suck a fuck?
So there are a few fans of Donnie Darko's F-bombs. Another Twitter friend, Movie Reviews and 20Qs, says he's probably thought about this once a week since 2004, which is...
Jesus, titty.
From Team America. And also Mousy and DeHousey on Instagram says Wet Hot American Summer, first day of camp when the professor says, you fuck dick of a shit butt.
you back slapping, booze swilling, glad handing fuck dick of a shit butt.
Yeah, I haven't seen these things, but I can totally see how they land with people. It's like, and that's what's beautiful about the F-bomb is that it can be silly, it can be very powerful, it can wake you up. And that is actually all of the main suggestions that I think we've had, which is bringing us to a nice, pretty even around hour-ish long episode, Richard. Is there one that you, even if we've said it already, that you legitimately think is like the best F-bomb?
Go fuck yourself in X-Men's pretty good.
Mm.
Like, yeah. As well, because not only the reasons we said, but also like, yeah, just this, the shock of hearing that in a, like in a superhero movie, that this was like before it was cool to make them like R-rated and... Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah, and maybe that's what had sparked it. Would we have Logan as a movie if we didn't have
Wolverine?
Yeah, exactly. That's a great point. Well, hey, this has been a fun episode. It's maybe a little on our lighter content side, but guess what, everybody? We've got to watch 8 Planet of the Apes movies, and things have been busy. So that's why you're getting a more chill, casual episode this week. But I hope you guys enjoyed it.
There's 9 movies, isn't there?
Wait, is there?
5 originals, a remake, 3 reboots.
I thought there were only 4 originals. All right, no, that's fine.
No, there's 3 on Disney Plus. There's 2 more you got to hunt down. Then there's the Tim Burton one. And then there's the reboot trilogy.
Exciting stuff. Well, tune in for that next week and stay tuned for the post-credits scene after this music finishes. And of course, find us on Facebook, Fuckbook, Instagram, InstaFuck, YouTube, FuckTube, our other YouTube channel, YouFuck. Wait, no, YouFuck's an actual thing.
Is it?
Surely.
Or are you just saying like as in the expression YouFuck?
No, I meant there's a website probably. I'm sure there's a porn website called
YouFuck. Do you reckon YouFuck or FuckTube would be more likely to be a thing?
I bet they're both actual things.
Wait. 1, 2, 3. The domain YouFuck.com may be for sale for $6 million, it says.
Jesus Christ.
I'm FuckTube is way more likely to be something, I reckon.
What a grotesque way to end the episode. Yeah, but see, I mean, people knew what they were getting
like a full-on... Yeah.
People knew what they were getting into.
All right, quick, come on, let's wrap this up.
All right.
I'm on FuckTube, baby.
Let's fuck off. Let's get the fuck out of here. Thank you for contributing to this episode, everyone. Let us know if we missed out on any that you think are especially notable in the comments wherever you're watching this episode. And we'll see you next week. All right, welcome along to the post-credits scene. This is a segment at the end of each episode where if you donate $5 or more over on our Patreon, patreon.com/coldpopshire, you get to give us something to talk about in this, the post-credits scene. Richard, who's it from and what is it?
This is from Michael Griffin, who says, I've got a question for the post-credits scene. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
What is your franchise follow-up idea for AJ slash Richard as people?
Happiness, like a fulfilling life.
Well, I think
a video game.
A press conference saying we're not making any more. I don't know. Well, if one of us was a sequel to the other one, who would? You're younger than me, so you would have come out second.
So what's the sequel to me?
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
AXJ, most extreme AJ.
What an old reference to make on this episode.
I'll be honest, I don't fully understand the question.
Yeah, I like where your head's at, Michael.
Yeah.
I don't know how to answer your question.
Yeah, I just want to have a happy and fulfilling life. And that's...
I think it's like our children, I guess.
Oh, right.
Like the sequel to us as people would be like, if we would have children. Yeah.
Maybe we won't.
Who knows?
Maybe the bearded, bespectacled movie nerd bloodline stops with us. That's my continue the franchise.
Wow.
Getting rid of this demographic.
Like a District 9 kind of ending.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.